Welcome. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Joe Mara, who is the author of Keys to Soul Evolution, A Gateway to the Next Dimension. I'm really pleased to have found this this piece of work, for it is very good at putting together many different aspects of what we've learned by interviewing many different authors, but gives a very, shall we say, enlightened picture of what is to come, with explanations that we need, because there are many different scenarios being proposed for the shift that is coming up. And certainly it is important to understand how not just one scenario will come forth for all who are involved. Jill has brought this information in through a seventh dimensional source, which I experienced very early in my life as balls of light. I didn't call them orbs, and I called them balls of light. They used to take me out and teach me in the dream state, and I was very familiar with them. I thought everybody communicated with balls of light, and it wasn't until the orb information came in recently that I realized that these were the seventh dimensional beings that were helping me and were involved with my soul evolution. Thank you for joining us, Jill.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Can you tell us a little bit about how you became involved with the beings that have given you information for Keys of Soul Evolution?
Sure. Well, firstly, everyone should know that I'm actually quite a normal person. I live a very normal life, and have for most of it, other than the fact that I do a lot of traveling and am quite adventurous.
Mm-hmm.
But I never was really considered myself a psychic, or, you know, I had some knowings very young, at a very young age, which I thought everyone had, and just like you thought everyone communicated with, you know, light bulbs, which is amazing, actually. I was quite the average person. I had some, like I said, some knowings, which I thought everybody knew, and then as you go through life, you know, you kind of get taken over by the structure of it all, and the programming, so to speak, and I did just like anyone else. But I went through a time of my life where I was realizing that, wait a minute, there's so much more to this, that this can't be it. I basically had succeeded in creating quite a nice life, living on a tropical island and having a wonderful relationship, but I realized there was something missing in that, that I wasn't fulfilling some purpose, and that I needed to have that feeling. Otherwise, I felt as though, well, what is my point in being here?
Right.
I created everything I could want materially. So I went through this sort of existential crisis, I call it, and asked, and basically was in tears to find out why what am I doing here? There must be something more than this.
Mm-hmm.
And was in that crisis, I watched What the Bleep Do We Know, the documentary, which awoke something in me, because the next day I said, oh, I need to be channeling.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time I was thinking, well, you know, I may be channeling to meet my guide for some guidance as to my purpose. So got some books on channeling and sat down and did meditation. And when I got to the meditation where I actually go to meet my guides, that is when I actually met the seventh dimension light beings, the very first time. And they, instead of saying, well, here's what you should do with your life, they said, we have a message for humanity. So that was a little surprising to me. So that was a little more than I had bargained for. But they ended up giving me these messages about this shifting consciousness and, you know, the changes of the earth and the earth's development and our development along with her. And in first, it was basically a sort of a telepathic communication in my head, and they explained who they were, you know, that they were these light beings, of these creator beings that are involved in the creation of universes.
Right.
So, well, that's quite intense, you know. But then I told my partner, my soul partner, at the time, who's my soul partner still, but about this experience, and he was fascinated and said, well, maybe I can talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, I suppose I can just go into the same meditative state and translate to you what I'm experiencing, what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that, and so I was verbally answering his questions. And then one day I said, well, you know, it might be more efficient if we can find out what exactly they want to tell us, and I can just type it
right
at the computer. So the first time I sat down to do that,
mm-hmm.
I received 8 pages of information about who they were and why they were mm-hmm. communicating. And then they relayed a list of 19 topics that they would mm-hmm. like to relay. And I soon found out from going through each topic and channeling the information about each topic, that this was a book, or it was going to be a book.
Right.
And that
right.
each of those topics were chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly as the book is laid out, the way that they gave me those chapters from the beginning and in the same order.
Right.
And all of the information that came consecutively from that point. And I just want to relate to people that when I'm going into this state, I'm not completely unconscious, like a lot of channels used to be and some still are.
Right.
It is more of a communication on a soul level where my kind of ego identity is sort of separated and put aside.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm conscious of what is coming through. But I'm very aware that it's not me and not my words, and
right.
I'm basically translating the energy of the words, because it's not that I'm like listening to something and then putting it into English. Or
right.
It's basically an energy block.
Yeah, and I think it's important for people to understand that people like yourself and sometimes even others, like when some of the stuff I've written is channeled as well and comes from a higher perspective where they're viewing the human race is a single organism, which some of that is in the keys to soul evolution. You know, so it's from a much higher perspective than the human ego. And it's really important for people to understand that when we do this, we are literally communication devices. You know, like communication, not devices like we're machines or anything, but communication centers. We have to
right.
just... We're like taking dictation. We're not making it up ourselves. And we're real aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started to channel, I was actually outside my body. I was like 3 feet above and behind my body, and I was watching myself do it. It was really wild.
Mm-hmm.
And my throat would become bright red. People who saw me said
wow.
the throat chakra would become bright red, indicating great energy, you know, energy communication through that chakra. So,
right.
you know, so it's not anything that, like, and many people who channel have the same experience. It's not something that is just like a psychotic break in one individual. There's literally thousands
right.
of people now channeling, so, you know, we can't all be crazy. But certainly...
Right, and I think there's a reason why there is so many people
oh,
doing
yeah.
it. I think that veil is thinning, and we're opening up to these other dimensions, whereas before we had quite a block on it, in a sense,
mm-hmm.
and it took a lot to get through. I think that is changing.
And one of
and
the
also
things...
for people to know that it doesn't seem strange to me. It doesn't feel
no,
odd.
No.
It doesn't... I don't feel like I'm being taken over. I'm
yeah,
really feeling as though I'm connecting to something and translating it.
Right, exactly. It's almost like you're, you know, in the UN and translating between different, you know, you're just, it's a job that you're just doing. But
mm-hmm.
I think you'll agree with me, when the information comes in, it's so interesting. You know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
oh my goodness. You know, you're sitting there listening to yourself saying stuff or writing stuff, and you're going, oh my goodness, isn't this interesting? Oh, that's the answer to that question I had last
exactly.
year. You know? That's what's so fun about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And then, yes, and it's amazing that when I channel, each time I channeled for the book, and I would say
uh-huh.
to do it about an hour at a time, it's about all I can
yeah.
handle of the energy.
Exactly.
I would read it later, and I go, oh my goodness, you know, what is this?
This is
and
good stuff.
Anybody possibly understand? Well, I thought at the time that we weren't ready. That humanity wasn't ready for this information.
Right. No, humanity's very much ready for this. It's right on our doorstep.
But that's what I discovered.
No.
It's not only that they're ready.
It's needed.
Need it.
It's very needed. Well, let's start off first by explaining that you can channel at different levels. It's all, and it's explained in the Keys to Soul Evolution. Whatever point you're vibrating at is what you can communicate with. And of course, there's more than seventh dimensional beings that you can communicate with. There's also very low beings that you can communicate with and channel. So, you know, it's channeling got a bad name probably because in some instances the information coming through was meant to harm people or meant to teach them to vibrate at a higher level. In other words, some channeling sessions, information would come through telling people to go sell everything they had and buy such and such, you know. And of course, when they did that, they lost everything. The idea is you have to know the level at which you're channeling. And by that, I think the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. If you read the Keys to Soul Evolution, it's very, very clear that this is coming from a seventh dimensional framework. It's at that level. It's not defined by space and time. There's instruction on how to maneuver within the what I would call eternal reality rather than space time reality. And it also really, really explains how not only how we live in a multidimensional universe, but also that we live in a universe of multiple probabilities, which is why, you know, one part of the consciousness can experience one thing and another part something else, and yet they're both be equally valid. You know, there's not just one future. And that's what I love about this, because I had always suspected that that was the case, you know, that actually there's just not one thing to pick from, and then that will be it. Now, that will be it from an ego standpoint, you know, like, you know,
exactly.
Jill, you may end up in the same or a different reality than I end up in, but depending on what we're vibrating at. But certainly, for each ego that goes into the fourth dimension, we'll land at one point. I mean, but we may all not land at the same place. And that's what's fascinating.
Right. Right. And it's important to understand that anyone that does a prediction with channeling cannot necessarily be right or wrong. There really is no way to do a prediction, because you can change it at any moment. And there's a responsibility in that, in anyone who does any channeling. Any channeling that I do, I make sure that I'm connected to some being, to the highest possible being, either for an individual, if I'm doing an individual channeling. And they will never give an exact prediction about one's future. What they give is guidance as to the possibilities of where you might go.
Mm-hmm.
And the same is true in Keys to Soul Evolution. It's giving us ideas about, okay, well, here's these various probabilities, and this is in a very important time for humanity to consider this, because this is a climactic point, and that we have an intense option right now to move into another level of awareness.
Or not.
And they explain to us what we can do.
Right, and if we refuse to accept that just in our mind saying no, 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 then we may find ourselves, you know, being recycled, so to speak, into another, you know, try again, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'll try again. And there's no judgment in that, and everybody should understand that.
It's not ready. Try again.
It's not ready.
And not
I'll
ready.
Go on to another relative reality. Another thing that they mention, I think, is important for people to know in the book, is that there's sort of a minimum level of consciousness in order to go to this next dimensional experience.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think that you need to be really into metaphysics and have studied this for years and meditating every day. And that's not at all true.
No.
It's basically just having a certain conscious understanding. And they basically list what that consciousness is. And then the rest, most of the book is is discussing how to be that and what's involved in this new reality, et cetera. But that there's some basic consciousness, and one need not know anything about this idea of transition in order to be a part of it.
That's true. It's more what your vibrational level is than what your belief system is.
Right.
So, I mean, we have many different belief systems, you know, many different religions, many different, some people are atheists, mm-hmm. some people agnostics, other people different religions, other people believe in multidimensional reality and the things that are communicated in your book, but it really is the vibrational level is almost a minute-by-minute counter of your emotions, thoughts, and actions combined, isn't it? I mean,
exactly.
It's like a...
Yes, and they also discuss those levels of energy, and that each one of those you're speaking of, and your emotions and your mental activity and your physical being, and then your soul level, they discuss these as specific kind of energy bodies,
right.
Soul level, and that being aware of them and where the frequencies of each of those are at any given moment, and how you can raise the frequency of mm-hmm. those. Specific way that I like to think of it is to basically kind of rising above as and becoming an observer of these energies
mm-hmm.
that are taking place within you. And as you observe them, then you become more aware instead of being reacting to them or being enveloped by them.
And that's
that
also,
would include how you react with others.
Right. And that's also kind of like when you do that, you become more functioning as your soul is, because your soul is kind of the observer too. So you're more vibrating mm-hmm. at a higher level as the observer than someone who's just stuck
right.
in emotion and just is on the spinning wheel of, you know, just being angry and, you know, just the negative emotions going back and forth and just never getting out of that.
Yes. And it gives you that opportunity to make a more conscious, aware decision as to where you would like to go from there with your
right.
thoughts and emotions and actions. So as you're more aware and you can decide, then you become a more powerful creator.
Right.
As you can decide then, okay, I would like to take this to this new level. And especially if it's an obstacle, they speak a lot about that, about
mm-hmm.
taking obstacles and creating opportunities with those obstacles instead of getting enveloped in them and letting them mm-hmm. take you down. See what the jewel or the gem within them is, and that is
mm-hmm.
the most powerful thing that we can learn here on this planet. And the fact that we have such a cause and effect reality that we live in with time and space, it gives us a great opportunity to
mm-hmm.
take whatever challenges that exist in front of us and learn to step above them and move them in the direction that is more under our conscious control.
Right.
And as we do that, we find that all of everything that is in synchronization with that elevated thought comes to us, and everything becomes easier. And
mm-hmm.
that's another thing that they stress in the book, is that lighter frequency thought and emotion and actions are more fluid in their creation ability. In other words, it's much easier when to create and to find and to meet your target of creation when you are elevating your consciousness to a lighter frequency. It's basically like moving through air versus moving through mud. When you're in
mm-hmm.
a dense emotional state, you are in mud, and you are not very likely to hit your target.
Right.
You're going to hit something like it, but it is not going to be like you wanted, and it's not
right.
going to be in the frequency that you want it to be in. When you're at that higher level, things just happen quickly, and you hit your target.
Right.
And it's amazing when you sort of start experiencing it, and if you can, at any given moment, put yourself into that state and see what happens, it's
mm-hmm.
recognizable.
And they also say it's really okay to ask for help when you don't know what to do. Say you've got an obstacle and you just don't see a way around it, you know, in your imagination. So it's okay to ask for, you know, go into a more meditative state and ask for help to you know, to get ideas about what to do.
Right.
You know,
and there's a lot of help out there.
Exactly. I love that. I love that concept in your book that you know, they're saying that since all is one, in other words, the energy, interconnections are not just on this dimension, but interdimensional, all you have to do is really ask for help, and then it's there.
Mm-hmm.
I think we
do forget that. Even mm-hmm. I forget that. But if, when we do, and when we put ourselves in that state of asking, it's important, I think, to make a statement of certainty when you do so to yourself, and trust, because that's what opens you up to that assistance. If you're going to ask for assistance not believing that you're actually going to get it,
you
then you're blocking yourself from you won't get it, exactly.
I have a sign above, actually above the drinking fountain in my center, and it says, argue for your limitations and they are yours.
Yes. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So,
and that is something that we always often forget, but if we can keep reminding ourselves at any given moment that having that certainty, that is what creates our reality, is the certainty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's key.
Right. Right. It is. In the first chapter, they talk about emotions as energy motions. And I like that because I learned a long time ago that a powerful emotion associated with a thought creates much quicker than just having the thought by itself. So that's
right.
something that people need to understand. If they have negative emotions or out of control, that their powerful emotions connected with the thought do create. But if their positive emotions are vibrating at a higher level, so they create quicker and more easily, like we just said.
Exactly. And they can be contradictory. So one might think something, and then their emotion says something different.
Right.
So then you're creating
that?
A conflict in there, a stagnation of creation in that.
Yeah, so nothing happens, right? I mean, or it doesn't happen the way...
Or you probably lean towards the emotional side. So the emotion is really quite important in your thought processes. You're better off having the higher emotion and maybe your thought not matching than the other way around, I would say.
Yeah, Carolyn Mace once said that you have to line up your will, which is your throat chakra, your mind, which is your third eye, and then the crown chakra, which brings in the energy for creation, and your heart, which is emotion.
Mm.
So you have if you line up the heart, will, and then your third eye, that's emotion, will, and... Because will is important, too. If you don't have will, if you really don't care, not too much happens.
Right.
Lining up all of those and then bringing in.
And talks about that, yeah. They call it desire, and that's like the first step in the creative process. Because if you have no desire, there's nothing to go with it. You're not going to create anything. You must have desire.
Right.
And some will say, well, you should go through life without any desire. They say, no. You need to have all desire in the world. You know, if you don't have that, nothing will be created, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, that's very true. And I also like the part that they talk about in here, that where is it's fine to have a cosmic consciousness or, you know, whatever experience where you experience all that is, you don't stay in that. And that's so true. I've interviewed many, many authors who started out with that kind of cosmic consciousness experience. But it is important to remember that you don't stay in that state of awareness. It can linger for a few weeks, but you come back out of it, and then you get to work on what it is you're supposed to do. And they talk in here about your soul's purpose. You know, there is there are contracts, there are certain things that you agreed to do before you came in, and just because you're not aware of them doesn't mean that you still don't have those agreements.
Right, and doesn't mean you're going to do it either.
Right.
You can actually block yourself off entirely from your purpose. And
you can.
So many people are seeking, what is my purpose? And they know it. Every single soul knows that why they came and that they had something in particular or an inclination that they wished to pursue.
Right.
And most, especially at this time right now, in our evolution, anyone who is born on the earth right now came with a pretty specific idea of the potential for their evolution, and to be of assistance for humanity and the earth.
Exactly.
Right.
There's
a strong possibility that if you're here now, that you do have a strong inner knowing. I mean, in the past, in our time frame, our understanding of past, there was a lot of karmic wheel situations happening. And that this time that we're in represents an opportunity to get out of that karmic wheel and to understand that we no longer need to be bound by it. And that is that elevation of consciousness out of that. So even the talking of past lives right now is becoming actually irrelevant because we don't need that anymore.
Right.
It's time for us to step away from it and there's the whole idea of complete forgiveness and understanding that we're all interconnected. Once you understand we're all interconnected, we no longer need to be fighting each other or, you know, having this, I did this to you, you do this to me scenario. Because that changes when we get into that elevated state.
Right.
It becomes, how can we do for each other so that we can all become better?
Right, And basically, if you're able to vibrate at that frequency of cooperation rather than competition, and, I mean, there's all sorts of other dichotomies, you know, service rather than being greedy and taking from everybody around you, then you're going to find this transition period a lot easier, according to your sources.
That's something I believe.
The higher you're vibrating at, the easier the transition becomes. Can you talk a little bit Can you talk a little bit about what the your sources have to say about the transition and what it's going to look like? That's fascinating.
Yeah, that is the big question. and it's not so easy to answer. And they answer it, and even though they answer it in a pretty clear way,
it's really hard
for us to grasp it. For us to grasp it. And when people ask, they're like, "Well, here's my understanding," you know.
Right.
Yeah. Well, because when we're shifting into a new state of awareness, a new dimensional understanding, as they put it, we don't understand it yet. We haven't seen it yet. So in order to describe it, they're describing it to us who are only still within this third-dimensional dualistic reality. So it's hard for us to step out of that. It's hard for us to step out of space and time. And that is basically what's going to happen to a large extent, is that we'll be stepping out of the limitations of our perception of space existing in such a solid form and time existing in such a consecutive way. It won't entirely disappear, the physical reality, but what will happen is we'll be able to see beyond everything as solid and everything as consecutive.
Some people have asked me, what happens to my house and my stuff and everything? And the answer is in your book, is that everything, the planet, the people and your stuff and the animals and the mineral kingdom and everything, it has a higher dimensional component. So it's not going to disappear, you know. it's not like the house disappears with all the stuff in it. That's not going to happen. They said that you will begin to see the connections of everything, even inanimate objects, to the higher realms. And how they're formed.
Right. So we'll be able to see more. Our houses and everything will be here.
Right.
We'll just be able to see more than the house. We'll be able to see the higher dimensional component of it, the energy that creates it. And we'll have an understanding of our thought energy. We'll be able to see like our thought energy in creating in that respect. And we'll be able to understand that everything and see and feel that our house and everything around us actually has a consciousness of its own,
and
that we are connected with it and interacting with it. And as our consciousness creates, it is infused with the things, so-called things in our environment, and that's how we are creating those components. And it's done individually and collectively. It's not just us. And the ego way to look at it is, oh, yes, I'm if I'm creating it, it's all me, I'm the creator of everything. No, it's not exactly that way, because we are a whole together. We're all, that in, the idea of interrelationship, understanding that, you must, it immediately puts you into a state of knowing that, mm-hmm. No, you are not separate creating something. We're creating something together, and you are adding to the consciousness of the whole. And so if, you know, so many of us are thinking of a world where there is peace and tranquility between nations, then mm-hmm. that is what we will create collectively. In as we move into this next dimension, we'll be able to see that that's what we're creating.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start seeing it, and when you start seeing the being able to see the future probability of, as a cause of those thoughts, mm-hmm. then you become much faster at correcting your thought creations. Because when you can see past the time and past the future, then you have an understanding of, wait a minute, that's not where we want to go. And you can change. And reform it.
Right. Many people actually experience this in their own lives now. Like I used to tell people, if I can't see myself doing your surgery, it won't happen. In other words, if I can't imagine in the future, say your surgery's set for next Tuesday, but yet I don't see it, something's going to happen. It won't happen. So that's kind of something we already do, stepping outside space and time and having a little bit of a predictive nature to it. But people do that all the time. I mean, people say, oh, I can't see myself going on vacation this year. Well, you're probably not going to, you know? I mean, you've already decided you're not going to because you can't see it. So the point is, everybody.
And that's a really important point. Yes. And we do it, and we're not so aware of that we're doing it. And now this is part of what this whole transition is. It's becoming aware that we're doing it. Just like you said, you just gave an awareness to somebody's lack of awareness about their creative ability.
Yeah,
and that's part of what is happening now with so many people. They're awakening to that.
And then the other thing is, because the we is all of us, my individual mm-hmm. perception can go forward to Tuesday and see that the surgery isn't taking place, whereas maybe that person is going to get sick or have a death in their family. I'm certainly not causing that, you see. I'm just observing. And that's what they say in the book, The Keys to Soul Evolution. You can go forward in time and observe and come back and report, you know, what you saw.
Right.
I mean, you may not know why, or you may know
all of that will depend, and all that will depend on the wave of the energy at the time. And the consciousness is involved. And so even in with your case in the surgery, that can change tomorrow. It could suddenly, something could be altered again.
Right. Yeah.
So there's kind of waves of energy. Now, some are like much more likely than others because of the concentration of that wave of consciousness.
And that is what's in your book. I think they said there's 10 different probability waves that could be coming out of this shift, this dimensional shift. I guess we need to explain a little bit about what the dimensional shift is first. Can we do that first and then talk about the 10 probability waves? Because that was fascinating to me.
Right. And then their understanding of it is amazing. And their understanding of that as an evolutionary process.
Well, that's because they're outside of space and time.
To me. exactly. But that it's all happening. We do. We struggle with it. And to think that if everything's happening at once, that there could actually be evolution within that is, mm-hmm. they explain how that is. And anyway, but the idea of the shift, firstly, what they say is that basically we are firstly, the Earth. The Earth itself is a conscious, sentient being, and she is ready to evolve to her next level. And that, when they say next level, they speak of it in terms of an awareness level.
Mm-hmm.
So the next octave or fourth dimension or fifth dimension, whatever you want to call it, it doesn't particularly mm-hmm. matter. What it is that it is a movement, an awakening of consciousness to another level of reality, to see, feel, experience more than what our physical senses have provided us thus far, that it all exists around us at all times, and we're just kind of awakening to the awareness of it.
Mm-hmm.
So So that is what's happening with the Earth, is as a being is ready to move into her next level of awareness as a sentient unit.
Mm-hmm.
And we can join her as a race of beings within her consciousness, or
right.
upon her consciousness, or however you want to look at it. So we have this opportunity, and we need to be in her same vibration, her same frequency, in order to exist with her in this new Earth. And there must be understood also that there still will exist a three-dimensional Earth, because everything that exists exists and always exists.
Right. It doesn't disappear.
So, and it's not going to disappear, right? So it will mm-hmm. still, there still will be a 3D Earth, and some will remain in mm-hmm. that awareness, and others will move into this new Earth experience, and it will be basically a new level of awareness where we've expanded to be more of our whole multidimensional self, and see that and feel it and understand it.
Right, and the thing that really brought this home for me is when I watched Jesse Ventura's 2012, because I really didn't realize it, but evidently there's quite a bit of evidence that billions of dollars have been spent by a certain portion of the powers that be to build underground cities. I mean, some many, many stories deep, maybe 17 stories deep, because they believe that something's coming up that's going to be cataclysmic, which, you know, I mean, the science is saying that, that will require them to go underground and live. Meanwhile, they're not telling everybody else.
Right.
I mean, that's hilarious.
That's hilarious.
So they're preparing to be left. You know, and that's where the left behind stuff comes from. They're preparing
to stay on the third dimensional
Earth when it's not going to be a very friendly place to stay on. And some of the books that I've read and information I've got said that, you know, the Earth is the last planet in the solar system to ascend. So take a look on Venus and Mars and take a look at the other planets and see how friendly third dimensional existence is. You know, it just isn't very friendly, you know. So. You really want to be there living underground? Well, you know, you might be able to live underground with the right technology, but it's not going to be pleasant at all.
It's not going to be pleasant. No. I don't want to be
it'll
on
be
that.
Hard, it'll be a hard life. You know, it has to.
And being in that state of fear about it puts you on that earth.
Yeah. And look at the resources they put into it. Billions of dollars of resources. And can you imagine digging down that deep and then putting all the food and the, you know, power systems and you know, all the things you'd have to think about, because the electromagnetic pulse shifts and, you know, a lot of things may not work, you know, during that time because of the, you know,
they would have been much better off taking those billions of dollars and putting it towards the betterment of humanity, because that would get them into a much better world.
Well, you can't. I guess you can't buy your way into heaven, huh? Somebody said that.
No.
Doesn't work
that
way. You actually have to be more, you know, more, you have to change your consciousness. You have to change how you vibrate. And, you know, that's why I tell people now, it's really important to at least consider what you're doing, saying, thinking, and feeling. You know, you need to at least look at it. And see if you can't.
And I'd love to say something about that I think is so important that it gets missed, because especially with like the whole hype about the secret and everything, which is mm-hmm. you know, has a huge amount of validity. And some, I think it's great that it came
mm-hmm.
out and people are being awakened by it. But what's missing in it that is so important for this whole concept of the shift is where the intention is in your creation.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
What is the intention you're coming? Where are you coming from in wanting something?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you want to raise the vibration higher, you want to have an intention where you are being of service.
Right.
And being of service is different for every individual.
Mm-hmm.
And each of us has a special gifts and special inclinations and ways that only we can be, that only things that we can only give that are
mm-hmm.
coming from our heart. Mm-hmm. And that is how we become a part of this new world, is by raising our intentions. In anything that you do, it doesn't matter how small or menial it seems to be, but if you can come from an intention of making the world a better place or giving my inner gifts to something or somebody or the planet or the, you know, the animals, whatever it is, you come up from a place of wanting to give And you know what the consequence of that, though, also, besides mm-hmm. being in the right frequency for the new earth, is that it creates personal fulfillment as a consequence. Because
right.
what is more fulfilling than being in a state of mind where you feel as though you're actually giving from
right.
your heart? Not, you know, I'm not talking about money or what, you know, yeah, those are all great, you know, it's great to give that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. But what's important is where you are coming from in giving it. And what's most important is that you're giving something that only you have, like that's special about you, that you came with, you know, from your
right.
soul.
And I suspect that once you enter into that, you know, that energy stream where you know what you're supposed to be doing, you're doing it, and you're raising your vibrations, then anything you need will come to you on that same vibratory stream. You know, I noticed
right.
that if I need food, it comes to me. If I need money, it comes
yeah.
to me. If I need something else, I mean, I needed something really weird the other day, and it was just there. And I'm sitting there going, you know,
right.
that's really strange. But that's what they call about the miracles. You know, that
yes.
if you are
and
on purpose, the universe will conspire to give you what you need easily, you know, so that you don't have to work
yeah.
like a year for it or something, you know.
And I've experienced that more and more as I realize I'm on my path.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an easy path to be a channel.
You can't be concerned what other people think of you.
I can't be concerned at all. And that's, you know, oh well.
Oh well. If they don't get it, maybe they will later. That's what I say.
Yeah. But, you know, this is my way of being of service. And when I'm on it and when I'm doing it, even though it's hard and there's my ego, it's like, gosh, you know, I don't know if I want to do that. That's like,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, it takes a lot out of me. But when I'm on that, just
mm-hmm.
like you said, and it's not about the material, like, you know, we tend to think about, you know, you have this certain amount of money and all this, but there's so much more when you just are on that frequency and things just
mm-hmm.
come to you as you need them, because when you're in that state, you're also allowing things that might be even beyond what you could have imagined.
Yeah.
That you could have
exactly.
sat there and
right.
focused on.
Yeah, you're
opening yourself up
people.
To a lot more possibilities.
Yeah, like you probably met people that you would have never met if you hadn't written this book that are real gifts, you know, real
mm-hmm.
meaningful and really deeply good connections. And I wrote a book on breast implant problems, and the same thing happened to me with that, you know, because most of that was channeled as well. You meet people who are just you know, incredibly important to your life path.
Yes. And that is so important, too. Yes, because anyone who gets on their path of purpose will find that, will find
right,
suddenly
they will.
That they're attracting all these people, yes, that are in synchronization with their truth. And it's nothing more rewarding than that.
Especially if you
they're
come
meeting
from a real
people,
dysfunctional family that is, you know, in conflict with your values and everything, and never, you know, if you were the black sheep of the family, and then you really realize that you have the spiritual
yeah.
family that you get along with great, that can be
yes.
really good.
So yeah, and I was one of those kids, like I know a lot of us are, that was just a little outcast, because I
yeah.
thought very differently than the average person, and so yeah, I mean, I didn't know, I stopped thinking about things, or stopped talking about them, I stopped,
mm-hmm.
never really stopped thinking about
right.
I stopped talking about a lot of things very young when I realized that, wait, nobody gets this, and nobody wants
mm-hmm.
to talk about it. I
right.
didn't understand how no one would want to talk about the nature of the universe.
Well,
like,
I think,
what I
think is that it scares people, because if indeed your thoughts are known, if indeed there are no secrets, if indeed, you know, we are all telepathic, which it appears we probably are, you know, at some level,
yeah.
Consciousness, we're all telepathic, then you really have to be harmless in thought, word, and deed before you're comfortable living in that world. And I had an ex-manager who didn't want me, even though she was deathly ill, didn't want me to do a healing on her because she was sure that I could read her mind. Well, I probably wouldn't have read her mind unless she asked me to, you know, because I don't go intruding
right.
into everybody's mind just as a matter of course. But it's interesting that she was frightened that I might read her mind. What was she? What were her thoughts? Isn't that interesting? She can read my mind. I don't
yeah.
care. You know, my I don't think anything differently about them than what I tell others about her. You know, there's no incongruity.
And that's interesting. You mentioned that Simeon also speaks about that in Keys to Soul Evolution as a part of this evolutionary process. Is that you will be able to sense.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone will have a different way of sensing, but you will be able to sense where someone's intentions are.
Right.
Telepathically, hear them.
Right.
You will at least know. And so you can't really hide.
Right.
And
it's protective.
Yeah.
You know, until we can all be harmless in thought, word, and deed, which is where I think we're going to. Because if you think about it, a world that has 1,000 years of peace has different people in it than our world has. It just does. I mean, those people might be, might have changed. You know, they might have decided to drop some of their lower aspects. But you know, we can't have 1,000 years of peace in a world where people are trying to blow each other up. Or I mean, it's just not possible. So we have to be. Well, we're coming to the end of our hour. I was wondering if you could give our listeners some information, some contact information, information about how to get your book.
Yes. Well, you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can go to either any bookstore and order it, or you can go to our website, which is www.simeon7d.com, and that's S-I-M-I-O-N, number 7D. .com, and you can order it there. And also on the website, there's some special things that you can't get anywhere else, which are some audio channelings that I did on particular topics.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go check that out and download, and you can also download the ebook on the website. And coming out soon, actually in February, is a documentary called Tuning In 2. It's the sequel to Tuning In, which is about spirit channelers in America. And I'm actually one of the featured channels in the Tuning In 2. So that'll be there'll be a link for that on the website as well very soon. And I haven't even seen it yet, but I've heard the producers are really excited about it, so we'll see how it goes.
So when is that going to be released?
The first one was amazing. So.
Do you know when that's going to be released, Tuning In 2?
Yeah, he says it should be out this. He's just doing final touches. It should be out this February. We were hoping to actually release it at the Conscious Life Expo, where I'll be doing a lecture and have a booth in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
That's on February 11th to the 14th. But so we're hoping to release it then. But it's getting close to that date, so I don't know if it'll be out. But we'll certainly have information about it at that point, and from the website too. So.
And if the producer is interested in coming on Temple of Health to talk about it, I do DVDs too. I mean, he can come on and talk about do some things. Once it's available, it's better to wait until it's available.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd be happy
may not be as useful. So, are you actually on St. Thomas, or where are you calling from today?
Yeah. Well. Such a long story, where I am at any given moment. I actually lived on St. Thomas for 8 years.
Okay.
But in the last, which is an amazing place to live, once I finished the book, I realized I needed to go to the United States where I could, present it and meet people. And
mm-hmm.
So I realized I needed to get off the island to do that. But so I went to my RV, which I had sitting in Rhode Island, where a lot of my family's from, and my partner and I have been traveling across the United States for a year and a half. So we started in Rhode Island. We went all the way to the north, took the north route, and down to California, and we ended up in New Mexico, where we actually really adore New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
We love the energy there, and we're actually thinking of starting an intentional community there, which there will be more information on as time goes on here. But then we were just called recently to drive across the country for a not-so-happy event that my partner's sister passed away unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm.
And so we drove to Tampa, Florida, where she lived, which is where we are now.
Okay. So
we're intending to actually spend the... What? Yeah,
you're
so
in
we're
the
in the same
time zone.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, your life is you never know what's going to happen and where you're going to be led. I mean, we were expecting to stay in New Mexico for the winter, but now we're suddenly here in Florida, and we're going to stay here for the winter.
Okay. Well, so, if you ever pass through Atlanta, that's where I am. I'm in Dunwoody, and I'd love to you can park your RV in my parking lot if you want, if you need a place to stay for the night.
Well, thank you. I have some family there, too, so we may take you up on that.
There you go. There you go. That's great. Well, it's been wonderful interviewing you, Jill. We've been speaking with Jill. Is it Mara? Mara? M-A-R-A?
Yes, Mara.
Mara? And she is the author of Keys to Soul Evolution, A Gateway to the Next Dimension. And having interviewed, I don't know, at least 7 different authors on 2012 and what's happening with this energy shift, I highly recommend this book because it ties together many, many aspects of the other interviews we've done and answers many of the questions I had about the shift. Next week, we will be interviewing Edward Close. Dr. Close is the author of Transcendental Physics. And then after that, Tom Harbin, who is the author of Waking Up Blind, A Corporate Cover-Up. And then we have on the 19th, Dr. Norm Shealy, who will be talking about the Shealy TENS unit. He's the inventor of the TENS unit and the founder of the American Holistic Medical Association and the Taylor Moore Project. We have TruthCon at Center Stage in Atlanta, the 4th, 5th, and 6th. I'll be speaking on what you don't know about what you put in your body. Stephen Greer of the Disclosure Project will be there, David Wilcox, and a whole host of other authors and experts on the coming shift. And, I wanted to say, on the 26th, I'm interviewing Ivan Rados, Transform Your Life Through Sacred Geometry. It's a yantra set, and there's something in your book that talks about the power of these sacred geometric forms for creation. Do you remember that part of the book, Jill?
Yes.
Well,
yes,
I'm actually interviewing the guy who has the yantra set that you can practice with on that. So that's kind of neat. That's a good connection on the actual, he's actually created a set to show you how to do that, which is pretty interesting. We have the Noetic Science Meeting. Gina Jones will be speaking on February 17th. It's always the third Thursday of every month at the Dunwoody office. She's discussing the cards of life, your life of destiny, past, present, and future, kind of like what Jill talked about in this, that you can actually go exploring. And she has she'll be talking about this ancient esoteric science at the meeting. And then there is coming up a conference called the One Path Summit, and this is it's March 26th and 27th in Atlanta, Georgia at the Cobb Galleria, and this is an opportunity to participate with doctors that are creating the future of healthcare at the One Path Summit, lectures and public forums that bridge traditional and integrative medical practices to educate you about your healthcare options. And you can register at onepathsummit.com. Anyway, thanks so much, Jill, for joining us. It's been delightful interviewing you and really wonderful reading your book. The energies that are helping you with this are doing a great service to all of us who are wondering what's going to be happening in the next few years.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. This is Dr. Susan Cobb with Temple of Health. Please join us next week.
So you had plastic surgery. What was it like?
It was great. Don't get me wrong, it was surgery, but the doctors and staff at Plastico's were terrific.
Honey, you look like $1 million. You actually went to Plastico's and had it done.
Why don't you? Plastic surgery is outpatient, and you'll only be out of work a few days. I love what Plastico's did for me, and looking my best is an investment that pays in so many ways. The help you get from the professionals at Plastico's is a bargain.
Plastico's, 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available, 770-457-4677.